We hear it again this morning, and trust the Lord will bless us together. Brother Crash requested I pray for the sick at the end of the service. I'll be glad to do so. So I'll do that at the end of this, end of the message. Now, usually as I attempt to bring out facets of the message, I want to bring a message on restoration this morning. And you can turn to the third chapter of the book of Acts. The portion we'll read. And we'll just read for this minute, just beginning at verse 19. Repent you therefore, just about three verses here. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must receive, or actually retain, until the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Our Father, we ask you now to bless this word, Lord, which we bring concerning the restoration, the end time, knowing, Lord, that there is truth on it, and we can be partakers of that same truth, and therefore, Lord, not miss what is ahead of us, and, Father, not be condemned for turning down the truth. So, Lord, we just believe that you'll help the study of your word. May it be very clear, O God. May it be food to our souls and enlightening us and blessing us and increasing our faith, Lord, until we come together in our perfect faith to deliver unto the saints. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that'll be okay. You'll notice in here that Peter spoke concerning the restoration of all things, which would have to take place before Jesus Christ was able to come back to this world, or to come back according to John 14, where he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, and my Father's house have many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Now the Bible said here that the heavens must retain him. The heavens keep him there until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, of course, the restoration is of what the prophets said. And we know that the word of God came by the mouth of the prophets, as the scripture says that the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. And also Peter said that the word of God came as holy men were windswept or moved by the Holy Ghost to say what they said. So therefore, we realize that there have been some type of dislocation or some type of perversion has swept into the Word of God so that God demands a return to the Word as it was ministered by the prophets. Now, this little message that Peter gave here concerning restoration, which must come at the end time, before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, before he can leave the heavens, which he can do only to receive us, he has to come in the form that he was here upon earth, which is a physical body. He did come back, of course, 2,000 years ago as the Holy Spirit, but he has to come back yet as a physical human being in order to bring the people unto himself in the marriage supper, or the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he will do this only after there has been a period of restoration. Now, the Bible says that the heavens must retain him. In other words, there is no possibility of Jesus coming until, first of all, there is a restoration. And, of course, we know that that restoration comes by Elijah. Now, there's no mystery here, because Jesus himself said that in Matthew 17, that Elijah must truly first come before this kingdom comes upon earth. Now, what I want to do here is to read the scriptures that are preliminary to this. in order for you to understand why Peter preached this sermon, which was, repent, therefore, and be converted, and then God shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, and of course you crucified him. Now he's risen, and the heavens must receive him until the restoration of all things. And to understand and to get the picture right as to why this sermon was preached and what it means, I want to read now from the from that verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. King Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when the people saw it, he answered and said unto the And when Peter saw it, he answered, telling the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when Pilate was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life on whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. We are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as also did your rulers. But those things which God had before showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now, of course, there is other scriptures that must be fulfilled, that were not fulfilled, and this is, of course, what Peter's sermon was based upon. Now, the reason that Peter spoke on restoration after this great healing is because restoration actually means in the Greek, concerning the restoration of the body, it means a complete restoration of health, especially the restoring to its place of a dislocated joint. Now, this is what happened. The man had a restoration, and there was a healing in his body, and his body was returned to health, which he had never had in his day, and he actually had restored in his body a dislocated joint. Now, you'll notice that the man was born a cripple, and there he sat helpless and begging, exactly like it says in Revelation 3:17, that thou art miserable, wretched, naked, poor, and blind. And the word poor in the Greek signifies a beggar crouching and begging because he hasn't got one thing of his own. He is absolutely poverty-stricken, and without anybody's help, he can do nothing whatsoever. In other words, he is in a condition in which he cannot himself rectify, and he must live in that condition, which, of course, will bring about death and that separation. Now then, but through the Holy Spirit ministry of one man, which was Peter, his faith is turned to the true revelation of God and what God promised for that day, which of course was healing. And he received perfect soundness, is what the English translation says, but the Greek says he received the perfect allotment. Now then, here again is the very same picture of the Laodicean church. The word perfect allotment, or entire allotment, would give us the understanding of Revelation 10 and 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as perfected and consummated, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets. The end time messenger brings us the entire allotment of the word of God to the Gentile bride, so there is nothing left over whatsoever. Now, let me put it another way also. the body of this man was brought back to integrity, and the promise God gave was established and fulfilled. Now, let's get this very carefully. I said that the body was brought back to integrity. Now, what is integrity? Well, we think of a thing as an integrated unit, but we also know that integrity means truth and honesty and rightness. But the body then was brought back to integrity. In other words, the whole body was then lined up. Previously, it was not lined up. Now, this is what happened in that man. It was brought back to integrity, and the promise, now notice, that the bringing back to integrity was the promise of God established and fulfilled. See? Now, the promise of God was through Christ you could have healing. Now, the body was what did not have its integrity. The joint was out of alignment, and the body was not well. But when the God gave the promise, and the promise being for that day, the promise of God was established and fulfilled, see, in this mighty miracle. And so it is, we've got the very same thing today, because the bride is the body of truth. Remember, the bride is the body of Christ, but remember, Christ is the truth. So therefore, as truth and word being synonymous, because they are the same, then the body is the completed body of truth, and you'll notice it's brought back to integrity. Now, you see, that's why the Bible said Jesus can't come. He can't come. Why? Because the church has not received its entire allotment. And if it has not received its entire allotment, then the body of truth cannot be fulfilled or filled until the entire allotment comes. See, just like you cannot have a perfect body unless every cell is in that body. You can't have one eye too many or one eye too little. There has got to be a perfection in the body. And here at the end time, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ cannot come because it's like that man sitting at the gate. There is something wrong. But once the body has had the promise of God established and fulfilled in them, then it's right exactly where God wants it to be. You'll notice it's all by grace because this man wasn't expecting a thing.
Amen.
It's on the sovereignty of Almighty God.
Amen.
See, now, this is what we said before, that Jesus has to have a virgin of the Word. See, he's got to get her back to where she was. Because remember, she started as a virgin, and since Christ is the body, and we are the body of Christ, and he is Alpha and Omega, and he came once in the flesh, and must now come back in the flesh, so it is that the bride starting as a virgin, she has got to go back to being a virgin of that Word. And there's only one way it can be done, and that's by the restoration ministry of Elijah, which has to do with the Word. Now, from what we have before us by illustration of this man, we can form a definition which would go like this, that the ministry of restoration, which precedes the heavens yielding up Jesus, because he can't come until the ministry of restoration, so that he can return to earth and establish his kingdom, is a Holy Spirit ministry by one man, upon whom is the Holy Spirit, in such a way as to designate him as Elijah the prophet. And that Holy Spirit ministry is to the body, or the bride, and further, that ministry of the Holy Spirit is a revelation ministry of the Word that corrects the errors,
amen.
See, the man, error is credited, and establishes the promise of the age to the bride, see, and that message is fulfilled in the bride, bringing her to perfect health or soundness, which is her entire allotment. See, now the entire allotment has been fulfilled. The Word of God has completely run out when this message of revealed truth for the end time is presented to the bride. And without it, there could not be a rapture or a resurrection because the bride is in such a condition that she could not possibly make it. Now, remember, in every age, there's the Word allotted for every age. But at the end time, there's a special allotment. So then, just repeating it for you so you'll get it, that the restoration ministry by this man Elijah is one in which the Word of God is corrected and restored in order to correct the problem within the bride. See, that's the whole thing. The problem lies in the body, which is the bride. Now, to break this down, I said if restoration is necessary, then something must have gone wrong to require restoration. See? Something has gone wrong. Something happened to that man, and now their restoration is required. And if this restoration does not take place, then remember what the Holy Spirit said in the book of Malachi. He said, if Elijah does not come and restore, then I will come and destroy utterly all. See, he says that. I will destroy utterly all. That's exactly what the Hebrew and the Greek said. See, behold, I will send you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall restore the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite utterly the earth. Lest I come and destroy utterly, or smite utterly the whole earth. So therefore, without the ministry of Elijah, there would not be a resurrection and a rapture. Now then, to me, this is the whole picture of the ministry of restoration. Look at the cripple again. He is crippled from birth. Now, nothing is missing. There's nothing in the man's body missing. But the joint is out of alignment. The ankle bone is out of alignment. See, the error in his body is corrected, and the whole body receives strength to walk. See, once the correction is made, he has now come into his full and entire allotment.
Amen.
See, remember, nothing's missing.
Amen.
You don't add to this word or take from it.
Amen.
See, it's all there. But there's something missing. And what is it? It's out of alignment. The word is not correctly interpreted in this age as it was in the other ages for their day, and therefore this bride is a mess. See, there's something wrong, and Christ cannot come. Now notice, once the correction is made, he has now come into his full and entire allotment. See, now notice that. The error in his body is corrected. Now what does he do? He gets up and walks. And the bride cannot rise out of the dust and rise and walk until the error in the bride of this day is corrected. Because remember, though Peter had the healing demonstrated in the first century, his message was to the last century. See? What happened, happened in the first age. But this sermon is not to the first age people.
Right.
Belongs to the end time.
Amen.
See? So the illustration is perfect. Something happens. See? To the bride. We know it occurred right in the first age. And that was, she went into error concerning the word, because we've got the whole word of God right here today. You don't need to add one word or take one word from it. So, when this error is corrected, which the six seals, the seven seals, correct the error, then the bride has strength to rise and to walk, which puts her in the resurrection and which will put her in the rapture. And then you'll notice, with the error corrected, she has come into her entire allotment. And that's exactly right. Those seven thunders can no more be added to the book, brother, sister, than the man on the moon. Those seven thunders are in the seven seals. As Brother Branham said, that's what those seven thunders were all about, or those six, seven seals were all about, which was the mysteries of the seven thunders, which was the prophet bringing forth the revelation. Because remember, the seven seals were never read. All they were done was open. And all John saw was pictures and heard a little voice, but it was never read. It was only when the book was brought down to earth in the hand of the pillar of fire that the word of God came forth. And the reading of the book was the preaching message of the seven thunders. Now that's how I stand on this, and I can't see one scripture that contradicts what I'm saying, or what contradicts what the prophet said. We have it. And Brother Branham said, when he brought those messages, he said the bride had everything to put her in the rapture, so if she had everything to put her in the rapture, then she had everything to bring him out of the grave.
Amen.
And he said, this message will bring the dead out of the grave.
Amen.
You see, now, you can see what the prophet taught us. The seals corrected the errors and freed the Holy Spirit from being bound by creeds and dogmas, and brought us into the full revelation of the seven thunders, which, though they were there, were not operative. The end time message was not operative. And the part that was not operative, that would give the bride the strength to get up to walk, because she couldn't do it, crouching like a beggar, that end time
was the opening of those seven seals, correcting all the errors and bringing you right up to the full revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because remember, there is a revelation of Christ in every age, and at the end time, he is the complete revelation of the Word. He has to be, because he was that as Alpha, he's got to be that as Omega. And they don't understand that this is what it is. It's a complete revelation of the Word of God by the pillar of fire through the prophet, as it was when he once stood here upon earth. And we've seen the complete manifestation, an absolute parallel of the first age and the last age, that is Christ on earth now, talking Christ, not just the church age, but the first, when Christ is a man, coming down as God, we've got the same revelation here in our age. See? Now, so he'll be soon coming back to take up his bride. This brings the bride back to being a virgin of the Word. See? Because that's exactly what Paul said he was afraid of. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now you notice in here, Paul said, I've espoused you. And he said, I've espoused you with a godly jealousy. In other words, Paul was invoking the law of jealousy, which is the law of jealousy of the Old Testament. And the law of jealousy is that you can't prove that the woman has been tampered with by some other man. But the husband is suspicious. And so he brings her to the priest. And she has to take the sweeping of the dust and drink it in it, some kind of concoction. And if she has been unfaithful, then her stomach will begin to swell and rot, and she will die. If she has been faithful, then this will not occur to her. Now, what is the law of jealousy? The law of jealousy is then unfaithfulness to the man that you are supposed to be marrying and be married to. And so it is with Christ. Paul is invoking the law of jealousy. He's afraid that this woman, that he has espoused to Christ, before he gets her there, she will have already fallen for some other man, because she can't wait for her husband. Now, what is that jealousy? He says here, the fear that she will fall, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind, M-I-N-D-S, should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Everybody talks about a heart religion. Well, I got news for you. Hogwash your heart religion if it doesn't come by the mind. Because you can feel anything and think you're right with God, but if you don't have the Word of God in your mind and the Holy Spirit fall out to bring you a revelation, you're a million miles off the base. Otherwise, how come women run up and want to go preaching? Oh, they feel they got to go preaching. Oh, they feel they got to go. And they're, oh, I feel I've got to go. A bunch of feelers. A bunch of catfish. Now, where's the plug nickel? God just throw you out of his net. Carrying ears. Not true fish. Crawfish and crawdads and catfish and you know what. But that real trout, he's not down there eating with those catfish in the channel and eating all the old grubby junk and crud at the bottom. Not that I got anything against the catfish, but you can't make him a Christian. You can't do it. It's just what God said in his words, see? You gotta buy a bit. Now, Paul was afraid that this woman would fall. But you see now, abiding by the restoration ministry, we come right into Revelation 22, 18 and 19 without any fear. For I certify to every man that hears the prophecy, that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now notice, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now you know right now that Jesus said in John 8 that to hear the word of God was to understand it. So therefore, there is going to be an understanding of this book. Amen. At the end time. Now you know that wouldn't be possible unless a prophet came, because this book's written in mysteries. It's confused everybody. It's made everybody so mad. They even think the Lord is like one fellow told Brother Brown, John must have eaten too many hot peppers that night. This is the most confusing book under high heaven. To attempt to figure it outside of the same spirit that wrote it is not only ridiculous, but is to bring you the most stupid hodgepodge under high heaven. Amen. Never do it. Now he said, if any man shall add unto these things, what things? The revelation. See, God will add the plagues. And if any man shall take away from that revelation, God will take away his part. Now notice he calls it a prophecy. Now then, why is it a prophecy? He's prophesying at the end time this book will be opened to the people. Now he said, you take from it, you get your name taken off the record. See, why? It's simple. You never make the rapture adding to it or taken away from it. That's what restoration is. It's to bring the bride back to a virgin of the Word. It's the virgin Word that makes you the virgin. See? That's the picture. Now notice, in Revelation 10, 3 to 4, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared. It doesn't say he was a lion. It said he cried with a loud voice as a lion. Just like when the lion was supposed to open the seals, who can take the book and open those seals? What came forth? A bloody lamb. It wasn't a lion that came forth. Wasn't time. And it's not time now. The Lion of Judah can't come down and take over this nation yet, this world. He cries as a lion. Why? Because it's the same voice in the church now is the voice of Christ by the pillar of fire himself having descended through a prophet.
Amen.
See? Now, seven thunders are the voices. When the seven thunders are the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Now, Revelation 22 and 10. And he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You never seal it up now. Why? Because it's gone forth.
Amen.
See? And it's all over. There's no more seal. Once those seven seals were opened, once those thunders came up, and there's nothing more.
Amen.
This is it. See, I'm looking for this great thing. I'm looking for that great thing. Brother Brown says, sure, and you'll find yourself in the tribulation because those great things belong to the two witnesses.
Amen.
We have got our great thing.
Amen.
See? If a woman wants to get pregnant, which is the right of every woman that's married, what does she want? Well, I think I'll have a teddy bear and a Cadillac and a 40-story house and maybe a bigger... Look, she needs family room!
That's right.
That's all she needs. So simple it goes on every day. God restores his word, and men and women turn it down. They want this big thing and that big thing, the other big thing. Make up your mind where you stand this morning.
Amen.
What folly people preach. I don't understand. You see, you're getting red in the face. Yeah, I bet I do. And I'm invited here. This is my pulpit, and I'll preach what I want.
Amen.
If you don't like, you can go up.
Amen.
See, I know where I stand this. Brother Branham said this simplicity was going to fool the whole bunch lock, stock, and bear.
Amen.
Absolutely. It's that word that brings life. It was that fulfilled word of that day that brought that man's ankle joints into alignment and the strength came where the whole body walked. And brother, sister, I want to tell you this. There's no two ways about it. This end time message is what gives the bride her ability to rise out of that ground and put us in the rest in the rapture, because there are people living here today who've got to be changed without process of death. If God Almighty were to destroy every one of us and let us die, then we wouldn't need restoration.
Amen.
See, but there's no word in the Bible that there's absolutely no word by itself in the Bible that says any group of people have a right to walk right into eternal life. That's reserved for the end time and comes under a special clause.
Amen.
You can't even find that in the death and resurrection of Christ. You can't do it because Christ himself had to go down and bring them out captive, lead captivity captive.
Amen.
So the same thing happens once more. The pillar of fire coming down by his word to bring back to bring us to a complete virginity, even beyond anything, as John said, this world has never ever seen what's going to happen this end time.
Amen.
That a whole group of people walk right into eternal life. How's it done?
Amen.
It says Christ can't come until restoration. What is it? Is restoration the word of God? See, now listen. We can see this is very clear. What we have just said here. We find then that this ministry of restoration is one of correction, revelation, and dynamism. As Brother Branham said, the dynamics follow the mechanics. For once the whole body of truth has been put in order, see, and remember, where was he crippled? In the feet. See? What age are we in now? The feet age.
Amen.
Where's the pillar of fire? Feet.
Amen.
Where is it? On earth. Where are we? On earth. Where are they? In the earth.
Amen.
So what's wrong? It's the feet. Now remember, you got to work 4 days. Now the other way, you reverse backwards. When it comes to Christ joining off, when it comes to the body of truth, we become the neck.
Amen.
See? That's different. We're talking about different things at different times, different periods. Now, the body of truth has been put in order. The end time truth has been revealed. The Holy Spirit can move the bride into the rapture and into the kingdom. Now, the dynamism of the Holy Spirit then, or that dynamism of the Spirit is that part of restoration that is called establishing the promise and carrying it to its fulfillment. That's the dynamism.
Amen.
We've had the letter now that corrected it, and you could sit down and memorize it. You could take everything Brother Brown said and put it down point by point and say, this is the doctrine. That won't do it. The Holy Spirit's got to fall upon it.
Amen.
Where it becomes a reality, and you believe nothing but that, and your faith is so based on it, you know it, just like Abraham. Everything's getting worse and worse and falling to pieces more and more, until you wonder where we're going to go as a group of people. We're going to go straight up, those that stick with this word.
Amen.
Now, this is reasonably clear. So going back again to the scripture of Acts 3, which we read, you don't need to read again. And verse 21, the heavens must retain him until the times of restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. Now that's what Peter said. That's what Jesus said. Now, it is very definitely stated here that Jesus is hindered or restrained from coming until restoration. Now then, what does he say? He said, restoration of that which was spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now you know, according to Daniel, that Daniel did not know what he said. He couldn't. It was hidden from him. It took a revelation. So therefore, the restoration is the true revelation of the Word of God to us that's going to do the work. See? Now, the error is being corrected. As I said, you could dogmatize that almost. You could simply write it down. It'd be just fine. But we need the revelation. Now, if we look in the Word now and find from Scripture what the prophets tell us what hinders Jesus from coming, we can know exactly what is being restored. Now, the reason I say this is because many people say, well, I understand this business of things that are going to be restored is what the prophet said. So they go searching the Scripture, and to them they say, now, oh, yes, the Bible said that the world has got to have such and such happen to it. Oh, I see. Well, what's going to happen? We're the Elijah group, and we're going to restore the world. They search the Scripture to find where there's certain things, you know, like, let's say we're going to restore the car. Well, you got to go get the parts. Where do you get the part? Well, you get the part by going to the mechanics, auto accessories, or you get someone to cast them for you. Now people got that idea about restoration. See? That's not what the Bible teaches. It's the Word itself restored through the understanding, which is by revelation. Now, we're going to prove it, you see, by Scripture. Now, as I said here a minute ago, and I want you to catch this, the Bible says this, that Jesus is hindered from coming until there is a restoration. Now, he said it's a restoration, that word. But, in case someone doubts it, let's go to the Bible and find out this morning where anybody speaks of Jesus being hindered from coming. Then let's study that scripture and find out why he is hindered from coming. Then, if it's what we have said already, we know we're on good Bible ground. That's fair enough. Okay? Right away, we go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because everybody knows that one. We don't have to look around to try to find us a good verse of Scripture. We already got one. 2 Thessalonians. Second chapter. Reading, verse 1, beginning. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our complete gathering together unto him. Now this is a complete gathering. That word in the Greek is complete. Now there's no such thing as a complete gathering until the end time message, because according to Matthew 23, God gathers his people by the prophets and by the scribes and by the wise men. In other words, he gathers them by his ministry, which is ordained, which is the word ministry. Brother Branham says in the seals on page 106, And paragraph 5, that this is the end time message. Now he said, that you soon be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by letter, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now he said, listen, that complete gathering cannot come, see, when it's all over, be in the rapture, see, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. and that man of sin be revealed out of perdition. Now, right now, here it tells you that that day of Christ with his bride cannot come because something is hindering him. Now it says there's a falling away hindering him, and a man of sin to be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now hinders will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you'll notice right here that Jesus is hindered from coming because of verse 10. Well, actually, verse 3 I mentioned up there. There's got to be a falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And notice in verse 10 now, it says here, because they receive not the love of the truth. In other words, there is a great apostasy. Now, what is the apostasy that is to come that brings about the unveiling of the man of sin? See? The falling away. What is it that brings it about? It tells you right here, because they receive not the love of the truth. They wouldn't receive it. They would not receive the truth. They did not love it. They turned it down. Now then, let us look at verse 7. We need to know this verse. Because it said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now it says that whatever is going to bring about the great apostasy, which is the rejection of the love of the truth, is already at work.
Amen.
So this gives the lie to anybody who says, well, bless God, I always have believed the Bible. Always have had the truth. Always have stuck up for it. He's a liar and hypocrite. Or he's ignorant and stupid. He doesn't know his Bible, just thinks he knows his Bible. Because Paul said the truth was already being corrupted. And if the truth has been corrupted, it is no longer the truth, it's a lie. As one person said, he said the most damning thing in the world is to have somebody tell the truth just slightly changed. A mild lie, in other words, the truth slightly changed, is the worst thing in the world. It's like a switch left open on a railway track. Hundreds of miles of good railway track. But one switch left open can kill that train and everybody on. See? Now, let's go to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, and see where this mystery of iniquity already started. Where the truth was already breaking down. Okay. Verse 17. Maybe there. And from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus. Ephesus, the first church age, where the word of God was pure at that time. Where John said they tried those who were false apostles, as Brother Branham said, they gave them the word test, and when they never said what Paul said, they said you're false.
Amen.
Now, brother, sister, if they had it back there and were to have it again, then we ought to know from the pew what is true and what's false.
Amen.
Yeah, I've heard preacher and the people scream amen when one young man not long ago said, anybody who tells you that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is the same thing as lying, and they screamed amen. Then Brother Brown's a liar. Fred Carm a liar. Don't say you know him and love him. You get up there and tell him what you're doing. Have the guts to do it.
Amen.
I'm not trying to use him as your horse to get the people following you. See? But Brother Brown flatly declared that they said you're false because you're not saying what Paul said. And I want to tell you, you can get this message down, as I said, to a dogma if you want, any day in the week. You can creedalize it. You're going to write it right down and know exactly what Brother Branham said as point by point. It's the revelation what it takes. Because you'll have one fellow argue against this and one against that. Oh, Brother Branham said it. Now, let's keep reading. He called the elders. He never called the pastor. He never called the evangelist. He never called the prophet. He never called the teachers. He never called the apostles, the fivefold ministry. He called the elders. Those who wanted the office, who wanted to teach, who wanted to be somebody, but they never had a true calling from God. Because the elect ministry of God is by grace, which is by predestination.
Amen.
Now, Paul said, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I've been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was proper to you, but I showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Now, if Brother Branham is to restore the truth, then he could not have held back anything from us.
Amen.
Testifying both the Jews, Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to get your mind changed about Jesus, just like you got to do today. There's not three gods, there's one. There's not a baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, his name Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, and knowing the things, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, just except he's got to go. Save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, bonds and affliction divide me. But none of these things move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus, to testify of the grace of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Does it? Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men, because I have spoken in tongues, had a great ministry, testifying to everybody, no, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
And there's only one way that will bring the blood back to the full efficiency is by the revelation.
Amen.
If you bleed that blood apart from revelation, you're just as lost can be.
Amen.
You've got to come by revelation. Now, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. In other words, you wanted the job, then God's going to make you accountable. Those women that wanted the job, God's going to make them accountable. You watch for how they stack them in judgment day. There's your iniquity right there.
Amen.
See? Now, made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, and Christ is the blood of God. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, elders, men given the job to teach in the church, but not called to be pastors, but take the place of one. Men who don't have a true calling, they can no more stay with this word, brother, sister, than a hog will refrain from going to his wallow, a dog to his vomit. They can't do it. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They act like it. They look like it. They scream it. They pray it. They dance it. They hop it. They shout it. Oh, my, yes. Faithful pastors, my foot. They'll take you right away from this word, though they be as sweet as the day is long. They don't stay with the word. They can't.
Amen.
They can't stay with that word. They just can't do it. We got them. We got them. Don't tell me we have them. I can take you right to the place, give you names and addresses. You got the same check on me. Anytime you see me depart from this word, you go right ahead and challenge me. That's your job. You hear a man come in here and preach, challenge him. Don't challenge your preacher. Challenge him. He's the guy that said it. Stand and say, hey, what do you mean by that? You see? But make sure he's off the word first. Because you may be held responsible to God if you challenge a man, see? But if he says that off to the word, he's got some little thing he's sneaking in there, you go right ahead and say, where's your scripture for? Where did Brother Branham see it? Where did I find the scripture? Amen. Brother Branham said everything he taught us had to line up with that scripture.
Amen.
Now, listen, he said that's what would happen. The people right within the group, the elders, not the fivefold, but the elders. Yeah, we got people right today who won't listen to the fivefold ministry. No.
Right.
They're afraid to be led astray.
Yeah.
How can you be led astray by the very ministry God ordained to perfect you? Somebody's crazy, sure ain't me. I'll take a standard test any day. Something's wrong. That's the same type of person who tried to destroy Brother Branham's ministry. He's right here on earth. So he had all but a nervous breakdown. Now, listen. It is not, therefore, the apostasy that holds Jesus back. Because they had already apostatized. And they've been apostatizing for all these ages. So if you're waiting for the apostasy to make him come, you're wrong. Because that hasn't made him come in six ages, nor will it make him come in the seventh age. See? What is it that stops him from coming? Tells you right over here in that 10th verse. 2 Thessalonians. Because they receive not the love of the truth.
Amen.
Not a part of the truth, but the love of the truth.
Amen.
See? In other words, brother, sister, before there is an apostasy, there has got to be a restoration. T-R-U-T-H.
Amen.
And that's it. Not gifts, not miracles, not ministries, but truth. Because it's only the truth you can fall from, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Amen.
You can be a coronation of the baron. You can be a janus of the chambers. You can have your gift ministry. You can have your saint. You can have your flame. You can go ahead and minister. Do what you want in the church. But brother, sister, it's the truth that's got to be restored. And what is truth? Truth is the revelation against which the gates of hell will not prevail. And remember, death is one of the gates of hell. So, there's got to be a revelation of truth. That's exactly why John said over there in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, no man can add to it, no man take from it. That's right, Brother Man said, one word is all it takes. You don't change one, you can't. How can you when it's a revelation? You won't. See? But others will. See? Now, there, first of all, then, has to be a great restoration of the Word. That's exactly what Brother Branham said in Spoken Word's original seed. I believe it's on page 64. Now, listen. Let's prove it to you. Look at verses 11, rather 12 and 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, the love of the Lord, you elect, because God hath from the beginning, notice from the beginning, go all the way back to Genesis now, who was it that God sanctified? Abel. How? Because he was righteous. How? Because he served and worshiped God according to revealed truth, but Cain did not. Now then, these very same people here, elect of God, chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, even being for the truth. They have the truth and believed it.
Amen.
See? There it is right there. God's way from the beginning is to bring a person by divinely revealed truth by which you stick to God.
Amen.
The minute you turn away, your faith is vain. Why? Because it's no longer based on God's Word, which is revealed. Because you can have 10 people read the same verse of Scripture and get in the 10-way dogfight. And all 10 be wrong. And 10 million more come by, 10 million still be wrong. And then one little fellow that's down the mouth and down the shoes and looks like some kind of a bum out of a gutter come along, he'll be exactly right. Or it may be an educated, brilliant man like Paul, exactly right. But whether you're educated, whether you're ignorant, whether you're smart, whether you're sort of in between, whether you got a dollar and you got nothing, it's still going to take a revelation. And God Almighty can only bring anybody to Himself by the truth. The true child of God is he which is born of that seed, which is the Word of God. Everyone else is illegitimate. Now, notice, it says in verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel, not somebody else's, but he called them by Paul. So in every church age, God calls his elect by the message of that day, and in the end time, there is definitely going to be a group, as Brother Branham saw them, and said, are all these Branhams? They will come under the messenger. because it is the truth of the seven church age. See? And there you can see it right here, brother, sister. What is hindering Christ from coming? It's not the apostasy. What has hindered him is there had to be a restoration of truth. The Word of God had to come back by divine revelation and interpretation as the Apostle Paul brought it. And remember, he was 3 years in the desert receiving a revelation from Almighty God as the pillar of fire spoke to him. It was the pillar of fire that blinded him to his past life. It was the pillar of fire opened his life, his eyes, into the truth.
Amen.
Now you've got the very same thing that happens at the end time. There is a restoration of the Word of Almighty God. And never forget this. It is Elijah who does it. Nobody else. See, nobody else can do it. It takes Elijah. This is the man that does it. Now remember, every prophet was involved with the Word. As I said a while ago, you don't go looking for this great big thing and that great big thing. You look for the very thing the prophet was to bring. And when you get it, you say, that's it. And now, the seed has fallen in the good ground that had come forth.
Amen.
See? All right. That's witness number one. Pardon me. Proving that what we said from Acts 3 is correct. Elijah must come and restore the Word, which is the truth for your day. See? Because since the first age, it's been going down, 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 down. Then, of course, in the Reformation, God brought up sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, and now, because God does everything in four, for deliverance, he brings you to restoration. See? Back to restoration. Now, let's take a second witness. Over here in the book of James, the fifth chapter, which I read the other night, Sunday night. But this being fresh in your mind, it'll be a help to you. Notice it says, verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman is waiting for the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is waiting for the resurrection. He's waiting for it. And had long patience for the resurrection until he, Jesus, received the early and the latter rain. See? Now, right there, remember he said, I'm going to go away, and if I go away, he said, I'll send a comforter, I'll send the Holy Ghost, in fact, I'll come back as the Holy Ghost. But now at the end time, he says, before I can come back to receive you to myself for the resurrection, I am going to have the former and latter rain descend you.
Amen.
Now, this is not Pentecost, brother, sister, because Pentecost couldn't bring a resurrection. You can only have a resurrection at the end of the ages. Now then, you'll notice what it says here, that there has got to be a former and a latter rain, an early and latter rain, in order to bring about a resurrection. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Let's go to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Because remember, what James said has got to be based upon the Scripture. 23 to 25. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Now remember, Zion is Jerusalem. And remember, Jerusalem which is below, there is no reason to rejoice. Jerusalem from below will never rejoice. It's hybrid.
Amen.
It's Hagar. It's in bondage. The only ones that can rejoice is Zion, which is from above, which is New Jerusalem, which is the bride, which is everybody as far as I know in the first resurrection. All right. Rejoice, you children of the rapture. Rejoice in the Lord your God. That's Jesus. For he, Jesus, has given you the former rain moderately and will cause to come down to you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first. Now they've got month there. That's not first at all. And the poor shall be full of wheat and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Now, what's he telling you here? Wheat and oil is in the harvest. But in the harvest, he gathers the wheat and burns up the chaff. Now, what is the harvest? It's the resurrected people. It's the bride. See?
Amen.
So, therefore, he tells you that he's going to give you the early and the latter rain in the first resurrection.
Amen.
In the first harvest. That's resurrection. See? There's going to be a early and latter rain which brings about a resurrection. Now, James is quoting Joel. You can see they agree perfectly. Now, he said, I will restore to you He's telling you what this former latter rain is going to do. Restore. That's what the locust ate. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, the pollenworm, the great army that I sent. Now, you notice right in here, brother, sister, that the word of the Lord, where it says former rain, is moret, which means teacher or teaching. And latter rain just means what it said, a rain falling on that which was sown.
Amen.
Now, at the end time, there is going to be the two rains come together. Now remember, all they got when Pentecost fell was the former rain. But at the end time, there's the latter rain, which has been going on with great signs and wonders and miracles for a long time now. The Holy Ghost being poured out, gifts restored. But in that time, God said to pray for the rain, the former rain, which is the teaching ministry of the teacher, the prophet.
Amen.
See? And what is this going to do? Now notice why you've got to have it. It says the palmer worm, the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar ate it up. Now if those four bugs ate up what the man planted, then there can be no crop. You can't get a crop off that kind of stuff. So what's the farmer do? He re-sows the land to get a crop. Now then, God says, I am the husbandman. I look down through the ages. I see where this mystery of iniquity is already working. The mystery of iniquity is the unbelief of the truth, which gets men to believe their own creeds and dogmas and worship God by it. You can't do it. See? Now he said, I'm going to have a harvest. So there's only one way I can get it. At the end time, there's nothing left. You're like that cripple. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind. You haven't got a thing. You'll never get to God. You'll never make the resurrection. Never make the rapture. It's all finished. So he said, I'm going to re-sow the seed. Because that's what went wrong.
Amen.
See? So God re-sows the seed, which is the original word of God, pours the Holy Ghost upon it, and brings forth the death, brings forth immortality in the living bride, and brings the dead out of the grave. Now that's exactly what God said he's going to do. Now then, let's go to Romans the 8th chapter and see this. 22-23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Now that word travail means the birth pain. A woman suffering to bring forth a child. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even though we've got what it takes to have a resurrection, there won't be one. All you can do is have birth pains toward it.
Yes,
see? You've got to wait for the adoption, the redemption of the body. And that body will never be redeemed of itself until the end time.
Yes.
Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Redemption right there standing in your flesh without death.
Amen.
There cannot be a resurrection until that body comes right back to the truth. And then, bless God, when that body's been right back to truth and righteousness in Jesus Christ, standing there with Christ revealed in her, then the dead can come out of the grave, and this body here can put on immortality. Changes right there. See? But not until that time. Now, notice also, back in James, the first chapter, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now notice that. We are the first fruits of his creatures, said James. Why? Because he begat us by his own word. What was he begotten by? The word of God. He was the word.
Amen.
The word was made flesh. See? Now then, he is the first fruit. He's the resurrection. And we also will be in that resurrection. Why? Because we are of the same spirit that he is of, which is the word.
Amen.
See? Because the word is spirit and life. Now, he begat us with the word of truth. That we are the words we should come up in the resurrection with him. Now, with that, we go to Revelation, the first chapter, and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the martyr, and the first begotten of the dead. No, sir. The firstborn from among the dead. The rest are still lying down there. The first one to come back from death to die no more. To put on a glorified body. The prince of the kings of the earth. You see? Now, with that, 1 Corinthians 15:20. That's who he is now. The firstborn from among the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. See, he's already that of those asleep. He has already said, because I live, you'll also live. It's already been said, if you've got the same spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you, your mortal body should come out of that grave. But what about those standing there? They can't make it. They don't die.
Amen.
See? You can't place them with the dead. They don't die. Don't try to place them there. Oh, say, I think I can place them. And how would you like to be thrown amongst a bunch of corpses in some kind of an old death dungeon, in some old pit, and say, I'll just be there. Well, these are dead. They stink. I hit it. Stay. Well, you said it didn't bother. It didn't make any difference, so stay there. Go ahead. You see how foolish you can be if you don't stick with the Word of God? Go ahead. Go down. Have somebody bury you. That's still, I like this about a good old Louisiana. You got a bunch of mausoleums on the ground because you got too much water to bury them. So let's open some of these stinking old tombs and just throw you. I'll be my guest. You're going to cringe right there, eh? And stick with the Word of God. See? Because with the end time we don't die, we're not classified with the dead.
Amen.
You got to have your own. The thing that gets you transformed now, you've got to have it. Because you're not dead.
Amen.
Ready? Let's say you died of a heart attack. What does the doctor do? He puts that electric pulsator here and starts giving you jolts to get your heart going. Well, supposing your heart's been beating real nice now, but you need a shot of penicillin. I suppose the doctor comes along and gives you a shot with this thing. You know, you say, that guy's a fool, don't live near me. So is the resurrection, and so is the rapture. The resurrection is one certain channel, and the righteous standing here are another certain channel. You can't apply the same to them. The former and latter rain does not go to the dead in the ground.
Amen.
Former and latter rain comes here.
Amen.
Because the former rain is a teaching rain. How can you teach a dead man?
Right.
Can't do it. If I believe that, I'd be a Mormon. Get baptized the dead. Do all kinds of crazy things.
Amen.
They got the revelation, not us. If you can do that. It's for the living, see? Now, remember it says Jesus cannot come. And what is hindering Jesus from coming? What hinders Jesus is the re-teaching of the Word and the Holy Ghost falling on it.
Amen.
To bring forth a virgin bride, to bring the dead out of the ground, and then to bring him down to meet her. See? Now, of course, he's already coming down when they're up. Now, notice that then. Let's go to Psalms, the 72nd chapter, verse 6. I want to read that one too. David, or Psalmist speaking here, said, in that second verse, God shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. It tells you right there what God's going to do. God himself is going to descend upon the bride. Right. That very word, descending upon the bride, that she will be a virgin of that word. Hosea, 6th chapter, verses 1 to 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he'll revive us. In the third day he'll raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That third day is always resurrection. And we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Notice there's a preparation. His going forth is prepared as the morning. In other words, there's a certain cycle that's going to take place. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. Christ coming. As the Word of God, Christ coming as the Holy Spirit in order to bring forth a Christ-redeemed and Christ-revealed bride.
Amen.
That'll bring up the dead. And it's all over. See, no one else will make it but those that are in the truth. Now, with just these two examples of Scripture, and that is all we need, two witnesses, we can see our stand is exactly right by what we teach on Acts 3, the way the prophet taught it. It is, first of all, the Word of God corrected and given to whosoever will listen. Secondly, it is the Word of God in the bride restoring her back to Eden.
Amen.
This comes by revelation against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. Now, I know this sounds like kind of Baptist teaching, you know, the old letter of the Word, but that's not true because Christ is the Word. So, therefore, Christ revealed to the bride is simply truth revealed to the bride.
Amen.
And truth revealed to the bride is Christ revealed to the bride. Secondly, Christ revealed in the bride is Word identified bride, or the Word revealed in the bride is Christ identified bride.
Yes.
And remember, they're going to come and say, we want some too, but it's going to be too late. We will be one with Him, even as Jesus prayed, that they may be one as we are one, that they may be one in us. That is restoration. For Christ the Word is restored to His rightful place in the bride, and by that union, the bride is restored to her rightful place. Because once He's given His rightful place, it's all right. That's where Eve failed. She never gave Adam his rightful place because he was her head.
Amen.
But she wouldn't listen. She took another one. Now then, never lose sight of this for one moment. It is Elijah that restores. Of course, the Elijah for this day is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself appearing amongst us, proving it is He by what He's doing, but He uses the prophet to get it across. Also remember that Christ is outside of the church in the Laodicean church age. He must be restored to the church or there is no life in her. That's why He said, I'll come and overshoot the whole thing. And how much Holy Ghost is there in the world today outside the bride? No place else but in the bride. Now He's anointing. But the Holy Ghost is in nobody but just a little bride.
Amen.
See? There's no life in her. She had forfeited her life. Now, notice, this is the Word restored to the bride. Otherwise, why Malachi 4, 5, and 6? Why would He come and destroy it? Now, let us see this restoration of Christ the Word in the bride, quoting mostly from Brother Branham. Christ descends in Revelation 10 in the pillar of fire and becomes the manifested Word amongst the bride by the prophet spirit. See, the prophet says what's going to happen and happens, proving Christ the Word is there. See? But remember, it comes by His Spirit, not by your spirit and mine. Now remember, William Branham was no more baptized with the Holy Ghost than we were. No, sir. It's just you got the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Ghost Spirit. The ministry made him different. But as far as being a member of the bride of Jesus Christ, he could be no more a member than anybody else could be a member. On the ground, you know that you're either a member or not a member. In other words, the very little bits of fingernails that I bite off and spit out, they are no less a part of my body than my eyeballs. Right. They come from the one source, which is life, which is God ordained by a certain channel. So my body's my body. So it is. This. But remember, when you begin dealing with a man like William Branham, there's where pride comes down because Pentecostals particularly say, I don't need a man to teach me. Then why'd you let Parham teach you? And three little boys looked in the Bible to see what they could find the evidence of the Holy Ghost was. Yeah. They don't even... As Brother Branham said, a horse is a thoroughbred. He knows his mammy and pappy. He's got a genealogy. But you ask these Pentecostals who their mammy and pappy is, they can't tell you. And go right back to the Catholic Church. Got an old whore for mother. Or great-great-great-great-grandmother. Same stinking mess. Because the old whore had nothing but daughters.
Amen.
And they played the same business. They say they played the same ball game of prostitution the old girl did. See? Now then, He descends by the prophet spirit. Not by yours and mine. The Word does not come by your and my spirit. It comes by the prophet spirit. Although it's the same Holy Ghost. That's why we listen. There at this time, Christ shows the bride His potential. See? And manifests that it is He Himself amongst her by showing that it is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing. Now, He expresses Himself in the end time of the bride as He which was to come. That is, the Son of Man is revealed again. The Word of God expresses Itself, and He does the same works He did when on earth. But remember, this is Elijah turning the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in that period, God expresses Himself in the fullness of His Godhead through the church,
Amen.
Even to His creative signs, and these come by Elijah. Remember, nobody but Moses created.
Amen.
People say we're going to create in the end time. Maybe we are, maybe we are, I don't know. There's already been creation.
Amen.
If I've got to wait for myself to create something to be God, well, fiddlesticks, I've had it. I believe the prophet.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
See? Now, remember, the prophet is part of the body, so the body is expressing itself when the prophet expresses God. Like, for instance, if I picked up this microphone and then threw it on the floor and jumped on it, Said, well, that's okay, Tony, don't fuss at me. I'm going to lift my hand, did it? He said, no, you did it. Oh, no, Tony, just my hand did it. No, you did it. That's right, I did it. If the prophet does it, then the body does it.
Amen.
You see, people looking for great big proof. You had the prophet, what more do you want?
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Caleb, remember, Joshua and Caleb believed the prophet.
Amen.
They went and spread it on the strength of the word. It is the proof that the head has returned to take headship of the body, Christ the Word, heading the bride. Not gifts now, but Christ the Word. Now the bride recognizes who he is. They say, that's God, one God, we know. He's the God of the Word. For the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Give them the word test. Here is where fallen Eve starts her trip back to restoration because her fall was caused by unbelief. Now she can then believing, you see, she's believing the one that manifested himself to her. He's the Word. As Eve was taken out of Adam and fell, so this bride was taken out of Christ and fell also. But as Adam stood with Eve, though it caused him to fall, so the Word comes to the bride now and returns her to being true Word by his total redemption.
Amen.
Which is 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 53. I show you a mystery. You can come to the tree of life now and live forever and you won't die.
Amen.
He restores her by his total redemption on her behalf. Christ the Word in the church, taking her back to himself as the man and wife in the garden. That is why he came. Can he fail in his mission? Revelation 10 and 1. Can't fail. Now, man and woman are one. They are one again because now she recognizes him only, his body, his flesh, his word. She doesn't recognize creeds or dogmas or denomination or anybody but just those in the word.
Amen.
Now redeemed back, she can go home with him to eternal life in a human body, eating and drinking, living forever. The word takes her to his body of flesh as the camel took Rebecca to Isaac. Brother Brown said, find the woman with the character to hear the message and then stand still until he can wash her with the water of regeneration, the cleansing by the word. The head, which is Christ, is part of the body. And as he rose in total redemption, so now the body, the bride, can follow him up. Remember that God raised up the body of our Lord Jesus because he was justified, perfect, so death could not hold him. Now this perfect word bride cannot be held either. She must rise with him, but remember, she doesn't die like he did. See? He said, I can give my life, or I can stop right now and say, legion of angels, come, I won't die. You bet he could have done it. This time, he sends the angel to pick us up and we don't die. He brings about our total redemption, see? All right. Now this perfect word bride can't be held either, and she must rise with him. As the head is part of the resurrection, so the body, which is the bride, must complete that resurrection. Has to. You can't have a headless body. Christ the Word is back to his bride of the Word, and she being pregnated with the truth. The mind is the womb, and that is what man fornicates with. Her womb has been closed to all other seed, so she cannot commit adultery.
Right.
See? But is confined to the Word, and the world has no place in her. She is a prisoner now of the Lord, and she will never denominate or go into sin because she has no unbelief in her. Why? Because she believes the Word. Now, the former rain has fallen. God's living, pregnating seed has been sown. And the dynamism of the Spirit falling on it will nurture it into a restored bride tree of the Word, bringing forth Word fruit. Bringing forth fruit, which is the Word itself. It is this revelation of God to Eve that's going to take her back to her rightful position with her husband, wherein Christ is being made known to the church. In other words, she's getting a revelation of her husband. Remember, Eve did not have a revelation of Adam. Before he actually came to her, in the sense of procreation, she was already pregnant by somebody else. She never even knew her own husband. Neither does the church know her husband. The only way you can know your husband, Christ, which is by having the revelation of this end time revealing him to you. Now, that is the restoration that must come before the kingdom can be set up for the king and the queen. The vine has sent forth another branch. We know exactly where we stand. Elijah truly has come, and restoration is on. We saw a manifested ministry. There is no doubt about it. The word of God has been fulfilled. So now, we are waiting for the bride to fulfill, to have fulfilled in her the very word which she now possesses. There's your restoration, brother, sister. Take you right back to God. Amen. Let's rise, shall we? Gracious eternal Father, we thank you, O Lord God, that we've been allowed to minister here this morning the word of life, a restored word. Oh God, what power there ought to be amongst us. What belief, what faith there ought to be here this morning, Lord, to know we're right here. We don't need to worry, Lord. We know that you'll perform your word because you're duty-bound to do it. We don't need to worry about it, Lord. We can believe it. And then, Lord, leave the results up to you, believing, oh God, that you'll perform it and you'll help us at this time. So there, gracious Heavenly Father, we know that this word shall not fall to the ground. It shall rather fall into the good ground to bring forth a harvest. Bless each one in divine presence, O Lord. If there be a need this morning, O God, we pray that there should be healing to the bodies. Those that want prayer, Lord, we pray that already their hearts might be prepared, not thinking they might be healed, but dedicating themselves, Lord, to this solemn ceremony, ordination. You said lay hands upon the sick and they should recover.
Yes.
Help us now, Lord, to see it brought into full manifestation. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now, those who require prayer, would you just please come on now? Stand here and don't come later now. You must come now, because if you come later, then it just spoils the meeting. The reason I do this is because everybody that comes, your faith is built up, and those that are going to pray, their faith is built up too. So if you care for prayer, just come on right now. I would be glad to pray for anyone at all. All right, just three. All right, that's fine. Everybody just pray with me then. And believe the Lord. Okay. Father, we come to you now for Sister Wendy with this infection, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, according to your word, that said, lay hands upon the sick and they should recover. Jesus, here we pray for the glory of God. We feed your presence, Lord, and thank you for hearing our prayer, which we know has been answered through Christ. Amen. Amen. Just pray simply. Father, we come now for our sister. In the name of Jesus Christ, knowing, Lord, that you have healing for her body. Lord, if you be agreed upon anything, it's touching your kingdom, it should be done as required. Oh, Lord, we thank you this morning that this is what we're agreeing on for our sister's healing, and believe you're with us now to perform it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. Lord God, for our brother, believe the very same, Lord, that you said if you be agreed upon anything that's touching your kingdom, it should be done. And whatever roost on earth is roost in heaven, and bound on earth is bound in heaven. Oh, God, we pray this morning, therefore, that your word bind the affliction, Lord, and loose him there from Jesus for your honor and your glory, Lord, according to your word at this time. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. For our brother, Lord Jesus, we pray, oh, God, touch his body. Let him know the healing power of Jesus Christ. What surgeons or no one else can do, Lord, you can do. We pray for him, oh, God, touch him. And deliver him, Jesus, from every infirmity through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Cash, you want to dismiss me?